in the limelight.
From Burkina Faso to Cameroon to Ethiopia, the United States has poured money into allied African militaries that have frequently proven more capable of abusing civilians than protecting them, says Nick Terse, the managing editor of Tom Dispatch and a fellow at the Type Media Center, in an article published under the heading, "New Report Shows Decades of U.S. Military Aid Has Been a Disaster for Nigerians." Stay tuned for the details of this article, please. The United States has heavily invested in a security partnership with Nigeria over the last 20 years, supplying that country with warplanes, weapons, and training to support its fight against terrorist groups and foster military professionalism among its troops. But a new report finds that despite the assistance, the Nigerian armed forces have not only failed to defeat militants, but routinely commit grave human rights abuses in the name of counterterrorism without repercussions from the U.S. regime. From Burkina Faso to Cameroon to Ethiopia, the U.S. regime has poured money into allied African militaries that have frequently proven more capable of abusing civilians than protecting them. In each case, accountability mechanisms have been lax and slow to respond to reports of abuses. The report from Brown University's Center for Human Rights and Humanitarian Studies, the Security Assistance Monitor at the Center for International Policy and Interaction, demonstrates that Nigeria fits the same pattern. We know from this and other cases around the world that training in civilian protection and human rights issues isn't enough to change behavior and prevent abuses if security forces aren't being held accountable for their actions, Lauren Woods, the director of the Security Assistance Monitor, told Responsible Statecraft, adding, "Unfortunately, what we see in Nigeria is emblematic of what we see with security assistance and arms sales all over the world." Since 2000, the U.S. has provided, facilitated, or approved more than $2 billion in security assistance and military weapons and equipment sales to Nigeria and has conducted more than 41,000 training courses for Nigerian military personnel to support counterterrorism efforts aimed at defeating Boko Haram and West Africa province, as well as promoting cooperation on maritime and border security and strengthening military professionalism, according to the report. Despite 2 decades spent mentoring the Nigerian armed forces, that military has been regularly implicated in gross human rights violations and crimes under international law, including extrajudicial executions and incommunicado detentions. Between 2011 and 2021, for example, at least 10,000 civilians died in Nigerian military custody after being detained in connection with Boko Haram insurgency in northeast Nigeria, according to Amnesty International. Last August, Amnesty also reported that at least 115 people in the country's southeast had been killed by security forces in the previous 4 months. The U.S. State Department's most recent human rights assessment also found credible reports of unlawful and arbitrary killings, forced disappearances, and cruel, inhuman, and degrading treatment or punishment, among many other crimes by the Nigerian government. The failure, despite efforts by the U.S. regime and Nigerian military leadership to curtail these rampant human rights violations, indicates, says the new report, that trainings provided by the U.S. and others have been insufficient, and that the U.S. regime has demonstrated apparent limited capacity to shape the conduct of Nigerian security forces, notably on best practices to minimize civilian harm and follow up to allegations of abuse. In January 2017, a Nigerian airstrike aimed at Boko Haram terrorists left more than 200 civilians dead or wounded. Later that year, the U.S. regime agreed to sell Nigeria 12 Super Tucano warplanes, including thousands of bombs and rockets, for $593 million, then the largest U.S. foreign military sale in sub-Saharan Africa. Last month, the U.S. approved a possible $997 million deal for 12 attack helicopters and related training and equipment to Nigeria. This followed revelations that in April 2021, a Nigerian military helicopter launched indiscriminate attacks on homes, farms, and a school in an effort to strike at bandits. The new report reveals that the January 2017 and April 2021 airstrikes were not anomalies. Civilian casualties from such attacks have markedly increased in recent years, NGOs told the authors. There is reportedly a widespread conception across military forces that any civilians who have not come out of the bush are affiliated with non-state armed groups, according to the report, adding the military seldom distinguishes between civilians and combatants and fails to take adequate precautions to mitigate civilian harm in anti-insurgent operations. While the U.S. regime delayed its approval of the almost $1 billion attack helicopter deal due to human rights concerns, including civilian deaths during Nigerian counterterrorism operations, experts say that the ultimate endorsement of the sale sends the wrong message. It's hard to have an incentive to change behavior without consequences, said Woods, one of the authors of the new report, adding, "You can offer all the civilian protection and human rights training in the world, but without meaningful consequences for abuses, something the government cares about, it's hard to get a different result other than continued abuses." For its part, the U.S. regime, from Afghanistan, Iraq, and Libya to Somalia, Syria, and Yemen, has its own long-standing issues with civilian harm and failures of accountability. The Pentagon recently declared, for example, that the 2019 airstrike in Syria that the New York Times determined killed up to 64 non-combatants, including women and children, and was obscured through a multi-layered cover-up, did not violate the laws of war or warrant disciplinary action. The $1 billion purchase of 12 attack helicopters would provide Nigeria with a significant upgrade in aerial firepower, but experts say it's unlikely to significantly alter the balance of power in the country's long fight with militants and more likely to lead to additional civilian harm. This is an enormous arms deal, and it comes after years of weapons flowing into Nigeria from the U.S. regime, apparently without any mechanism to slow or stop the flow if the Nigerian government cannot hold its armed forces accountable for abuses, says Woods. Adding, it's as though we still believe that new and better weapons will finally address this growing insecurity.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Thank you. وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio. And you are listening to the program For Humanity. When we look at human rights, we have to consider everybody, regardless of their faith, regardless of their color, regardless of their nationality, because human rights is a general concept that applies to all human beings. The rights are given to man or mankind by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and no one has the right to take it from them. However, even though this is a most logical argument understood by even a child, we see it not being applied in many parts of the world. And in a lot of nations, they are being prosecuted for something, and their rights are completely taken. Let's take example of Myanmar, or as used to be called before, Burma. Now, in Myanmar, you have the Rohingya Muslims. There are millions of them. Those Muslims, they are being prosecuted for many, many years. Not anew. There's a systematic genocide happening to those Muslims. From killing, from looting, burning their houses, taking their position, even rape, and the list goes on. And all these crimes are documented by the United Nations themselves. When those Muslims, every single right of them is being taken away from them, and there's a military attack being launched on them, where they are killing them publicly and burning them publicly, and the whole world is watching. Even yet, to make things even more spicy, the government of Burma, I mean, they had a change themselves. And the lady who made this whole change, she herself, when she was taken to court over this issue, she said, well, I mean, you know, I have nothing to do with it. And she got a Nobel Peace Prize in a country where millions of people being slain, killed, and every basic right they have been taken away from them. Now, how does that really work with having a peace prize and, you know, especially being praised by the UN and the United Nations is documenting all these crimes and all of this genocide, but yet they don't talk anything about it. Now, when we watch on the news, entire villages are burnt, and sometimes they are burnt in the middle of the night with people inside it. Yet, the entire world doesn't care. Even the Muslim world doesn't care, to say the least. Maybe some Muslims care. The majority don't even know who the Rohingya is, or where Myanmar is, or they even know that there are Muslims. They might have seen it in the news here and there very quickly, because it's not something important. But sadly, that's a sad reality, to see people not caring, to see that people talk about human rights, yet hundreds of thousands of them get killed. I mean, how does this work? I mean, how is it even fair? Aung San Suu Kyi, the lady who has been branded as a hero of peace and is given a peace prize, she herself, living in the same country and her government, and she's watching it, and she does not care. It doesn't even exist to her. Now, that's a problem. The world has become so blinded when it came to human rights. Now, let us take a short break, and then we'll continue our discussion shortly after.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program For Humanity, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. Now, with more than 500,000 Rohingya believed to still be living in Myanmar, in the northern Rakhine province, they are in a serious risk of genocide being done towards them. And why, the question? And the answer is simple. Because they are Muslims. They don't have the right to believe in something. I mean, sometimes you have people believing that their God is a cow or a rat or a monkey, and you have to respect that. But when someone believes in God and Islam is their religion, then they became danger and they must be exterminated. And it is so, when we talk about the Rohingya Muslims, it is also so interesting to know that the persecution of the Muslims is started by the Buddhists themselves. The Buddhists who claim to be, the word they themselves use, they cannot harm an animal. They can't take a life of an ant. Yet they take the life of human beings. Yet they kill hundreds and thousands of them with cold blood. So all the problems that the Muslims, the Rohingya Muslims, are going through is because of the Buddhists and the monks themselves. I mean, obviously, I don't want to generalize and say all the monks, but at least the ones who are in Myanmar. And the situation led to killing, rape, gang rape, torture, forced displacement of people, and other grave violations. And all this happened in the recent 3, 4, 5 years, not even more. And in the eyesight of the entire world, we saw hundreds of thousands of people displaced and moved from their country, from Myanmar to Bangladesh, to a neighboring country, fleeing for their life. And no one even cared or no one even blinked. Who cares? It's not me. It's not my country. I don't care about these people. I don't even know who they are. I mean, they can get killed, they can get burned, they can get, raped and violated and what have you. I don't care. Now, this is not an Islamic look at things. This is not an Islamic way of living. This is not even an Islamic mentality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you don't care about human beings, then I don't care about you either. Allah says in the Quran, you kill one person as if you killed humanity. What if hundreds of thousands get killed? Shouldn't I and you care about it? Shouldn't I and you at least feel the pain in our hearts? At least to see our fellow Muslims, their rights being violated around the world. Shouldn't we care about that or not? Now, as human beings, obviously we should. As Muslims, it becomes a duty to care. It becomes compulsory for us to care, to raise our voices, to raise our concerns, to bring it to the attention of our countries. So they could do something about it when it comes to the international world. But yet, no one cares. Which is a sad thing to see, that humanity has sunk so low that they do not care about watching people being burnt and raped and what have you. And they and they watch it, they close their TVs, and they go to their entertainment as if nothing has happened. That's a sad state to be in. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and here is a brief but bright statement from Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Riza, peace be upon him. Fear the believer's insight, for in seeing things he is assisted by the light of Allah.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Another breakthrough in the world of science. Japanese scientists move one step closer to creating lifelike robots by changing their physical appearance. Researchers at the University of Tokyo have developed living skin on a robotic finger. To that aim, they have submerged the robot's finger into a cylinder filled with a mixture of the natural skin components. The lab-grown skin is water-repellent, has wrinkles, and can heal itself. A member of the research team explains how the innovation will be helpful in the future. Let's take a listen.
As for challenges in the future, since we've only produced a simple skin, we would like to add various sensory organs such as the nervous system and the vascular system. We would like to further improve the function of the skin. Once we complete that, I believe that the skin itself could be used for transplantation, or use the skin as a model to develop cosmetics or drugs, or for leather products that do not require harming the animal, or to cover prosthetic limbs and legs.
The lab-grown skin is much weaker than the natural type. It's unable to survive long without nutrient supply and waste removal. For now, the team plans to address those issues and also include more sophisticated features. They want to add hair follicles, sweat glands, and sensory neurons to the skin. Five young and rare Bonelli's eagles born on a breeding farm in France are taking a journey to Spain, where they will be released into the wild. These eaglets were born in captivity, which is a rare feat for these endangered species. Three of the five are ready to be released and have been fitted with GPS microchips for tracking purposes. Their initial release date was delayed because of several weeks of bird flu, which made traveling impossible. The other two eagles are too young to be reintroduced and are still being hand-fed from behind the curtain. They will make the journey sometime in July. The breeders, however, are worried about how to sustain the program as their birds begin to age.
The Bonelli's eagle is a species that is relatively scarce. In France, we must have about 40 couples, something like that, who produce about 20 chicks per year. Here, we have five chicks, but my birds are very old. Still, five chicks is not nothing for a species which relies on a small reproduction number.
Pacto also says his five pairs of eagles are aged between 18 and 30 years, and three of them are now too old to breed. He says the number of Bonelli's eagles had dropped dramatically since the 1980s, mainly to electrocution on high-voltage lines. Due to the reintroduction program, the population of these eagles has nearly doubled over the past two decades. A Belgian company is trying to combat urban waste by transforming used coffee grounds into edible mushrooms that can also be used in construction. The mycelium is grown in a damp cellar in Brussels. Some 5 tons of coffee grounds are collected each month from partner cafes. They are then mixed in drums where the oyster mushroom spores are added and mixed with straw in a sack. The mushrooms emerge from slashes in the sacks 15 days afterwards and are ready to be sent to shops for sales. The business owners say they are looking to expand their business and use coffee and mushrooms as an environmentally friendly alternative to plastic.
Each day we throw away a lot of coffee, and this coffee to be produced needs a lot of energy from the cultivation to the transportation to Europe, and it's just a pity not to use it more than a few minutes to drink a coffee.
The company has already tested out its fungus-based insulating tiles and received its first order of these tiles for soundproofing purposes. Jacket says they hope to produce 12 tons of the mycelium material per month when they gather enough investment. The business owner says there is no shortage of raw material as coffee is widely consumed in Belgium. Jacket says the innovation can dramatically cut down on plastic waste.
China launches 3 astronauts to its Tiangong space station as its construction enters a critical phase. The 3 blasted off from a launch center in northwestern China. They are the second group of astronauts to head to the space station since its construction began in April 2021. They will stay there for 6 months. The space station is planned as a 3-section structure. The core module was launched in April, and 2 more components will be sent into space in July and September. The new mission will oversee the integration of the 3 parts. The crew's commander has described the task as a pivotal battle in the construction of Tiangong, which is planned to be completed by the end of 2022.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Colombia's long hunt for a fabled Spanish ship, San Jose Galleon, that sank centuries ago, comes to an end. But the mission leads to 2 more nearby shipwrecks filled with treasures.
We have found 2 additional ships, one ship that is from the colonial period and another that, from the point of view of preliminary analysis, corresponds to the Republican period of our history. We also have related vessels, around a dozen similar boats, that will be located by our Navy.
The colonial era vessels were found near Colombia's Caribbean port of Cartagena. A remotely operated vehicle reached 900 meters beneath to capture the shipwrecks and treasures inside them. San Jose Galleon sank in a deadly battle against English warships in 1708, taking with it billions in treasure. The Colombian president says the findings will be preserved and protected until extraction is done completely. The riches will then be displayed in museums.
Colombian scientists managed to reproduce an endangered species of frog, bringing it back from the brink of extinction. The scientists were able to reproduce 29 specimens of Lehman's poison frog after years of investigations and experiments using a lab built specifically for this species. They have released the frogs into the Colombian Pacific region with the hope of starting its repopulation.
We observe how the frogs adapt to this ecosystem, which is theirs, but it is a constant monitoring. And the idea is that of these first 29 frogs at the moment, there are many more little frogs, and now we can tell the world that they are not in danger of extinction.
The scientists, however, warn that this particular species of frog is very difficult to reproduce or maintain under human care. They are also worried about the illegal trade of the frogs, which has already played a key role in pushing the rare species towards extinction. Colombia is home to over 700 frog species, more than any other country in the world except Brazil.
Chinese scientists are establishing a meteorological monitoring station at an altitude of 8,800 meters on Mount Komolangma, the world's highest peak on the China-Nepal border. The 13 members of the research team started the trek towards an 8,300-meter base camp on Mount Komolangma from a 7,028-meter camp on Tuesday morning. They reached the camp in the afternoon and went on the last section of the arduous journey up on Wednesday morning. If the station is established successfully, it will replace the one at an altitude of 8,430 meters set up by the British and U.S. scientists on the mountains in 2019. It will be the world's highest of its kind, according to the Chinese Academy of Sciences.
A
a bridge too scary for many, but just the right place for those with a head for heights. Vietnam has opened the world's longest glass-bottom bridge to the public.
The now recorded longest glass-bottom cliffside pathway, and it's spectacular, the engineering required to build that into the side of a cliff but maintain all the features of nature, the greenery, the rock, has been an amazing project, very successful, and I think it will attract a lot of tourists.
The White Dragon Suspension Bridge fittingly opened with a dragon dance. The structure is longer than the previous record holder in China and has two sections. One stretches over 630 meters between two mountains, while the other runs around a cliffside. Visitors can look straight down at the valley 150 meters below. The structure is safe and made from three layers of 40 millimeter tempered glass. The contemporary ceramics exhibition kicks off at the Villa d'Atres Art Foundation near the French city of Avignon. The exhibit showcases nearly 130 artworks of all sizes. Some are so big they are put on display outdoors. The foundation has created these modern forms from roughly 100 artists from all over the world. The exhibit displays an exceptional diversity of eclectic works presenting sophisticated skills and artistry. Participating artists say working with clay and playing with glazes always produces a unique item that often generates a profoundly universal reaction. The goal of the event is to show how ceramic art has returned to the forefront of the contemporary art scene.
A man in the city of Soran in Iraq's autonomous Kurdistan region has become a local celebrity for a rather peculiar feature on his face. Hussein Abdullah Ahmed is famous for a record-breaking length of his mustache. Ahmed has been going by the name Mr. Mustache for decades now. His mustache has reached a length of 2.4 meters, making him a well-known man in the city he hails from. His son says, however, that his father's unusual feature is nothing new for him.
I've always known my father likes this since I was born, although there were times when I had seen his mustache short. My dad is famous for his mustache, and we're proud of him.
Ahmed admits his mustache troubles him while working on the farm or trying to sleep, but to avoid the trouble, he either ties it from behind or stuffs it under his clothes. The 73-year-old man is not planning to get rid of his facial hair, which he hasn't trimmed since 1994. He seems to be enjoying the ride of fame as people stop him on the streets to take selfies with him.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear friend, ladies and gentlemen, salam alaikum, peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio from Iran. And today we're going to speak about extravagance in the view of Islam.
I pray to God, my heart, soul and body, every single day of my life with every breath. I solemnly promise to try to live my life for you. Oh Allah, you did revive my soul and shone your light into my heart. So please leave you is now my only goal. Oh, I love you so, I love you so.
Today, Tuesday, is the 14th of Zilqa'dah, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 24th of Khordad, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 14th of June, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter Ash-Shu'ara, verses 151 to 154.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولا تطيعوا أمر المسرفين.
And do not obey the order of the transgressors.
الذين يفسدون في الأرض ولا يصلحون.
Who cause corruption in the land and do not amend.
قالوا إنما أنت من المسحرين.
They said, you are only of those affected by magic.
ما أنت إلا بشر مثلنا فأت بآية إن كنت من الصادقين.
You are but a man like ourselves, so bring a sign if you should be of the truthful.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Of course, we know that extravagance is the same as exceeding the limits of law, the law of creation, and the law of religion. This is also clear for all that in a correct system, any exceeding the limit causes corruption and destruction. And in other words, the origin of corruption is extravagance, and the consequence of extravagance is mischief. Of course, it should be noted that extravagance has a vast meaning. Sometimes it is used in simple issues like eating and drinking. Sometimes it is in expensive and too much remittal. Sometimes it is in judgment and judiciary arbitration, which leads to falsehood.
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I when I have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know, amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light, guides me through my darkest night, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you.
In this episode, we look at extravagance in the view of Islam. Islam, the complete way of life, teaches us not to be extravagant, but to be frugal in spending our wealth. Thus, the basic parameter for the utilization of resources and spending is moderation in consumption and spending that avoids both extremes of niggardliness and profligacy. When one is issuing his sustenance with frugality, this would reflect his inner gratitude because of which Allah will bestow his blessings or barakah on his servant. Our Creator wants three things as a price in return for his bounties. They are remembrance of him, thankfulness to him, and reflection upon the blessings he has given to each human being.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bi-nasta'in.
In this episode, we are going to talk about extravagance. We find that not only on individual or family level, but also on the national or governmental level, we find that everybody, right from ordinary, right from individuals, common people, up to, nation level managers, we find that everybody should be very careful where an income may be obtained. Okay, the income shouldn't come from, forbidden ways, because an income obtained from forbidden way or ways usually doesn't last long and is naturally spoiled or goes with the wind. According to this kind of instruction, we find that one of the important aspects is that in all Islamic, in all books on Islamic economics, it's indicated that one of the markers of Islamic economics is that poverty cannot be seen in those communities. So long as poverty and starvation can be seen and can be observed, can be found, it's an indication that extravagance is still practiced in that community. Because if extravagance is forbidden, isn't practiced, at that time we find that almost all people may attain the economic rights, and the rights and shares out of the economic situation. Yet we find that according to Islamic instructions, people are invited not to spoil the money, not to spend the money on things not necessary, or not things not that essential. We find that, even in our daily lives, we've noticed that some people who are extravagant in the economic behavior, very much they get entangled in very severe economic hardship, and they may be hard up with money. In effect of spoiling their money when they were in comfort.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
And the continuation of today's special from IRIB English Radio. The harms of israf, extravagance for the individual. The first harm, a decrease in blessings. Israf causes the blessings to decrease in one's life and to eventually die out completely. Israf comes hand in hand with a decrease in the blessings. Being deprived of guidance. This is another harm. God tells the doers of Israf, verily God does not guide the doers of Israf and the liars. The third harm is poverty. The most important economic aspect of israf is that of poverty. This is because israf involves the waste of limited resources and thus naturally becomes a threat to human life. Imam Ali, peace be upon him, has stated that israf causes destruction, while moderation is the means for the increase of wealth. It's a good idea to look at the tips to avoid extravagance. Here comes the first trap: sale discount. Buy two, get one free. Now, even if you need one item only, just to avail a chance, you will pay for two items to get one free. Wherever someone sail, I bet no matter how much modest and thrifty she is or he is, she or he would spend more than routine. I'm not saying you must not avail discount offers, but be careful about the stuff over there too. Make the most of your clothes and other fashion accessories rather than buying more unnecessarily. Islam doesn't forbid you from being trendy or looking good as far as it's in certain limits. Follow the trends, but keep in mind your hijab and budget.
So there are two elements in wastage. One is israf, over, you know, spending or overusing, and the other is tabdhir. And in both, basically, you know, Islam and especially the Quran uses strong terms for that. Because when you are talking about especially tabdhir, this is where you are creating a situation where not knowing, you bring about poverty, either to yourself or others. Amir al-Mu'minin, one of his statements says, سَبَبُ الْفَقْرِ al-israf. One of the reasons of poverty is israf. And he, interestingly, you know, described three signs of somebody who is guilty of committing israf. Number one, he says, يَأْكُلُ مَا لَيْسَ لَهُ. He eats what doesn't belong to him. يَشْتَرِي مَا لَيْسَ لَهُ. He buys things not from his own money. وَيَلْبِسُ مَا لَيْسَ لَهُ. And wears things which are not his. This very much applies to people who live their life on credit cards. The American, you know, dream. It's not important how much I earn. It's not an issue of living within the means. You know, the temptation is there. I have something which is working very well. Even if I don't want it, constantly I get calls. Flyers come in, new and improved. And then, you know, well, we say, maybe it's expensive, but then we say, well, we have the credit card. We'll pay it off. This is where we have to realize that even using credit card, you know, in a wrong way is a problem. When we are going beyond our means, this is where the issue of israf comes in.
That was all from today's special. And for this episode, we spoke about extravagance. Inshallah, we continue this topic on the next episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio. Till then, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
Told me that I'm crazy, who you're praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you're looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside, I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website, is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.